And Grisha Elfin, he languishes towards his end. The last of those four madrigals by Carlo Gesualdo, Prince of Venosa. Couldn't be a more apt ending to a concert programme called Chromatic Renaissance, performed here at Wigmore Hall, live on Radio 3 and live streamed on the Hall's own website by the vocal ensemble Exaudi, directed by James Weeks. Juliet Fraser, soprano, Lucy Goddard, mezzo-soprano, Tom Williams, countertenor, David De Winter and Stephen Jeffs, tenors, and Jimmy Holiday, bass. Back they come onto the platform. They're hoping to go to the continent in August. A Gesualdo-based concert in Cologne and then to Royaumont Abbey for work with new music. Well, next Monday's lunchtime's live recital from Wigmore Hall is vocal music of very different kinds. Soprano Sophie Bevan, pianist Brian Wigglesworth, the husband and wife team perform two romantic French song cycles. Debussy's Saint-Quentin de Baudelaire, Berlioz's Les Nuits d'été, Summer Nights. I hope you'll join us just after one next Monday.
Martin Handley there. Thanks very much.
Essential Classics on Radio 3. It's not just the well-loved masterpieces. We mine the rarer corners of the repertoire for your listening delight.
The whole show really is a collaborative process. People drop me a line throughout the morning, anytime between 9 and noon, and very often we will make space to play the music that they love and they are passionate about.
3 hours of brilliant recordings, the most exciting new releases and listener favourites. There's always something to make your morning.
Essential Classics with me, Susie Klein.
And me, Georgia Mann. Weekday mornings from 9 on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
Now it's time for today's early music show, marking the 350th anniversary of the birth of the composer Tommaso Albinoni. And it's introduced by Anna Herr.
As a musician in 17th century Venice, you'd find yourself hustling for positions in churches or courts and scrambling to pursue wealthy patrons to earn a living. But for one lucky young man, this wasn't the case. Meet Tommaso Albinoni, born in Venice in 1671. His father, Antonio, had a job manufacturing playing cards under the watchful eye of workshop owner Angela Mina. When Tommaso was 13, the family's luck changed. Mina bestowed her entire business to Antonio, and as a result, Tommaso and his siblings enjoyed a privileged middle-class upbringing. Unlike his contemporaries, Vivaldi and Corelli, for instance, due to his family's financial situation, Albinoni could compose purely for pleasure. Despite being a trained full-time musician, he described himself as a dilettante veneto, meaning dedicated Venetian amateur. For a composer who wrote more than 99 sonatas, 59 concertos, 9 sinfonias, and 80 operas, the term amateur seems a little self-deprecating. In his day, Albinoni was particularly famous for his operas, although it appears not a single one was published at the time, and very few have survived. He wrote his first opera at the tender age of 23, and with it, he made his first mark on musical history. It was the first opera written on the theme of Zenobia, queen of the Palmyrians in Syria in the 3rd century, who lost her throne at the hands of the Roman Emperor Aurelian. was the overture from Albinoni's first opera, Zenobia, performed by Charivari Agréable and Carmen Ng, with Simon de Brule on trumpet and Stephen Pedder on violin. Zenobia is very rarely performed now, but the public fell in love with it at its premiere at the 1694 Carnival at Venice's Theatre of St. John and Paul. Nowadays, though, despite the gigantic list of operas to his name, Albinoni is best known for his instrumental music. His first collection, a set of 12 trio sonatas, is dedicated to his fellow Venetian, Cardinal Pietro Ottoboni, grandnephew of Pope Alexander VIII. It actually coincided with the premiere of Zenobia. 1694 was a busy year for Albinoni. Our dedicated Venetian amateur was proving to be a trailblazer with these first published works. Corelli and Vivaldi didn't publish their trio sonatas until more than 10 years later. Albinoni's sonatas were popular from the start. The collection made other composers sit up and listen, including J.S. Bach, who borrowed themes from Albinoni's Opus 1 to use as subjects for some of his fugues, but more of that later. Here's part of the sonata Opus 1, number 6 in A minor. That was the fourth movement of Sonata No. 6 in A minor from the 12 trio sonatas, Opus 1 by Albinoni, performed by L'Arte dell'Arco, directed by Federico Guglielmo. Albinoni also wrote around 50 cantatas, although only one set was published. This beautiful collection of cantatas is often lost amongst the plethora of sonatas, concertos, sinfonias, and operas he produced, which is unfortunate because they really showcase his creativity and compositional prowess wonderfully. They reflect Albinoni's writing style, which was less flashy and ostentatious than that of his contemporaries like Handel or Vivaldi. This was great news for amateurs. These cantatas are set in a traditional landscape of unspoiled greenery and bountiful countryside. They tell a story of love and all its trappings. As Cupid wings his way amongst the lovers, the music portrays elation, excitement, pain and suffering, and everything in between. Here's Così languir mi fa, from the cantata Ove rivolgo il piede.
Oh,
That was the aria Così langue mi fa from Ove rivolgo il piede, Opus 4, Number 7 by Albinoni, performed by L'Arte dell'Arco with soprano Silvia Fregato. Up until 1705, Albinoni mostly wrote trio sonatas and violin concertos. For the next 15 years or so, he mainly concentrated on solo sonatas and concertos for oboe. Albinoni composed no less than 54 concerto a five from 1700 onwards. These can be seen as a kind of precursor to Vivaldi's concertos composed 4 years later. Vivaldi's were virtuosic, intense, and full of flourishes. Albinoni's concertos, on the other hand, were somewhat calmer and simpler. There wasn't anything particularly groundbreaking about his writing for these concertos, but his saving grace was the willowy melodies and elegant lyricism of the adagios, all wrapped up in a neat and tidy structure. Here's the adagio from Concerto No. 5 in A minor from 1707. That was the adagio from Concerto No. 5 in A minor from Concertos of 5, Opus 5 by Albinoni, performed by Collegium Musicum 90 and Simon Standage. In Venice in the early 1700s, there was a hot new singing talent in the opera world, the castrato Francesco Bernardi. He came from humble beginnings, born in 1686 to a barber in Siena. As a nod to his hometown, his nickname in the business was Senesino. Along with a long-term collaboration with Handel, Senesino had many pieces written for him by VIP composers at the time, including Albinoni. In the 1720s, the opera superstar would charge anything up to an eye-watering 20,000 lira for a season of performances in Venetian opera houses, 10 times the amount paid to one composer writing operas for the whole season. This meant opera house managers had to be frugal when Senesino was in town. He had fans in high places, including German composer Johann Joachim Quantz, who proclaimed that he had a powerful, clear, equal, and sweet contralto voice. This next aria, from the opera Astarto, is said to have been written by Albinoni for Senesino and was premiered at the Teatro San Cassiano in 1708.
Sfortunato voi mi fate, ma non son reso infedele, infedele. Sfortunato voi mi fate, ma non son reso infedele, infedele.
That was an aria from Astarto by Albinoni, performed by Andrea Scholl with Accademia Byzantina, directed by Ottavio D'Antoni. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Anna Herr, and today we're celebrating the life and work of Tommaso Albinoni. In 1705, Albinoni married Margherita Raimondi. Impressively, she somehow managed to have 7 children and continue her work as a performing soprano. No mean feat in 18th century Venice. A few years after Albinoni's marriage, his father Antonio died. In a break with tradition, he left the family business to Albinoni's younger brothers, but allowed Albinoni himself 1/3 of the income. Unfortunately, by the time Albinoni was in his 50s, the family business had collapsed. This likely meant he could no longer rest on his laurels and make music without the pressure of earning a living. Back to more prosperous times. In 1708, Albinoni wrote another operatic masterpiece, Pimpinoni. The opera was first presented at the premiere of Astarto as a bit of light relief between the acts. Pimpinoni, also known as the unequal marriage, poked fun at everyday Venetian life and the class system. It tells the story of a beguiling young chambermaid, a rich, gullible bachelor, and the hilarity that ensues when they get together. That was Chi Mi Vuoi from Pimpinoni by Albinoni. I Solisti Veneti were directed by Claudio Scimone with mezzo-soprano Elena Zilio. There was no shortage of great musical minds in 18th century Venice. Albinoni had some pretty accomplished contemporaries, Handel, Vivaldi and Corelli to name a few. His music was performed throughout Italy and in Northern Europe. Albinoni was greatly revered for his work and had many fans. As I mentioned earlier, these fans included one of the most celebrated composers of all time, Johann Sebastian Bach. It was Albinoni's instrumental work that grabbed Bach's attention, in particular his trio sonatas, Opus 1. Let's hear just how Bach was inspired by Albinoni. First, the second movement of trio sonata, Opus 1, number 8, then then Bach's Fugue in B minor on a theme by Albinoni.
Thank you.
was Bach's fugue in B minor on a theme by Albinoni, BWV 951A, performed by Robert Hill. And before that, we heard music that inspired Bach, the second movement of the Trio Sonata, Opus 1, No. 8 by Albinoni, performed by L'Arte dell'Arco and Federico Guglielmo. Another connection we have between Albinoni and his admirer, J.S. Bach, is in relation to Albinoni's six symphonias and concerti, Opus 2. In around 1710, Bach copied out the continuo part of a concerto, included in Opus 2, by hand. What's particularly fascinating is this is actually one of the first times we see Bach engaging with the concerto genre at all. These six concertos were a big deal in Italy and beyond. Albinoni played a crucial role in developing the fast, slow, fast three-movement cycle of the concerto we know so well. He even flirted with the ritornello form, which later flourished, thanks to Vivaldi. At just 4 minutes long, the second of the concertos is a short but sweet example of Albinoni's elegant writing.
Thank you.
Albinoni's Concerto in E minor, Opus 2, No. 2, performed by Insieme Strumentale di Roma, directed by Giorgio Sasso. One of Albinoni's biggest claims to fame comes in the shape of his revolutionary oboe concertos. As far as composers like Vivaldi were concerned, provided there were some places for the player to breathe and no sudden register changes, the oboe and the violin were seen as largely interchangeable. Enter Albinoni, who, in 1715, published his first set of Concerti a 5, Opus 7, for one or two oboes and broke the mould, giving the oboe the respect it deserved. He was the first known Italian to use the oboe as a solo instrument in a concerto. Instead of writing virtuosic, violin-like lines and then simply passing them off as suitable for oboists, Albinoni wrote solo parts specifically for oboe. These were greatly influenced by his love for, and experience of, writing operas and cantatas. One of Albinoni's most well-known and celebrated works is in fact one of his oboe concertos, his Opus 9, No. 2 in D minor. The Adagio showcases Albinoni's expertise in writing some of arguably the most emotive, soaring melodies of the time.
Thank you.
That was the Adagio from Albinoni's Oboe Concerto in D minor, Opus 9, No. 2, performed by Pier Piello with I Soloisti Veneto, directed by Claudio Scimone. Albinoni charmingly described concerti, like the one we just heard, as with rather than for oboe. He preferred to craft his concerti more like chamber music, keen for the listener to hear the wonderful string parts too. Perhaps inspired by his own vocal training, as well as his soprano wife, Albinoni strove to treat the oboe like a voice in an aria. This can be clearly heard in his concerti, in the way that the oboe appears for the first time with a solo entry, rather than doubling the violin in the orchestral opening. This structure mirrors that of operatic arias at the time. In true Albinoni style, he dedicated this first collection not to a high-profile superstar oboe player, but to a local amateur musician, who also happened to be godfather to his son, Giovanni Donato Correggio. Now, as we near the end of Albinoni's story, there's one composer whose absence so far has been conspicuous, Antonio Vivaldi. Despite Vivaldi and Albinoni being contemporaries in Venice, there are no stories linking the two men like there are with Bach and Albinoni, for instance. Perhaps they were rivals. We may never know. But one thing we do know is that when it came to the style of their concertos, they definitely had their differences. A piece in which this is particularly obvious is Vivaldi's renowned flute concerto in F major, The Storm at Sea. This may well be the first flute composition to include the very tricky high F, definitely not a piece for Albinoni's beloved amateurs. For Vivaldi, it was all about drama, inventiveness, and the wow factor. From Vivaldi's Flute Concerto in F major, Opus 10, No. 1, The Storm at Sea, performed by the English Concert and Trevor Pinnock with soloist Liza Beznosyuk. Now, this would not be a programme about Albinoni if we did not address the most scandalous part of his history. There's a skeleton in the music world's closet that was discovered long after his death. One of the most famous pieces in classical music is Adagio in G minor, supposedly by Albinoni. It has been used extensively in films as diverse as Gallipoli, The Inbetweeners, and Flashdance. However, a 20th century musicologist named Remo Giazzotto claimed to have salvaged fragments of an original composition by Albinoni. He allegedly then wrote a piece based on these fragments and copyrighted it in 1958. The story is somewhat sketchy, as the original fragments have never been found, and at one point, the library in question denied they ever had them. Perhaps we can view this controversy in a positive light, as it has served to keep Albinoni's name alive and known by diverse audiences across the world centuries after his death. So let's just enjoy the Adagio in G minor, performed by the English Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Stephanie Gonley.
Thank you.
The Adagio in G minor by Remo Giazzotto, based on a fragment by Albinoni. It was played there by the English Chamber Orchestra and conducted by Stephanie Gonley. The early music show was marking the 350th anniversary of Albinoni's birth. It was presented by Anna Herr and produced in Salford by Nick Holmes. Next week, Hannah French is here with a programme of music performed by the Talis Scholars. There's music by Josquin and the two winning entries from the 2020 National Centre for Early Music Young Composers Award, recorded last week at Cadogan Hall in London.
One of the great piano concertos, Beethoven's Emperor, with the pianist Igor Levit. One of Prokofiev's most dramatic symphonies, his Searing Sixth.